when I was thinking about preparing a drasha for Parshas Tetzaveh Metzora, so sometimes you find yourself at a loss. And the parsha begins with the sacrifice for the postparturient woman, the Yoledes, and then proceeds to take a deep dive into the loss of Tzaras in all their gory detail that the Gemara in Chagiga describes as Mikra Merubav Halachos Muatos. And then the second parsha addresses how do you cure Metzora from Tzaras. Then it talks about Nigei Batim, that never were, never will be. And then, if that's not enough, it goes down from there. The rest of the parsha talks about Tumah, that results from the emission of a variety of bodily fluids. They're all very important Gufei Torah, but not necessarily good fodder for a sermon. So then I remembered that the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that there are three phenomena in the Torah. Three phenomena which the Torah, which the Gemara says, one of the Tanaim says, Lo hayiv al oas elios. Never happened, never will happen. The laws of Ensor Lore, the laws of Yerani Dachas, and the laws of Nigei Batim. The situation in which a house is afflicted with Tzaras, popularly but probably mistakenly referred to as leprosy. So why then does the Torah describe things and prescribe responses to them if they are destined to never happen? So Gemara explains that they were given for the purposes of drosh v'kabel tzchar, expound on them not for practical guidance, but rather to receive reward. Some might understand this as simply meaning that you should study more so you get more tzchar kal m'torah. The study of Torah creates tzchar. But I think that the Gemara actually means something more here. That is, even though the scenarios described will never happen in practice because of technical legal hurdles that can never be surmounted or will never be surmounted, nonetheless, all three areas, when studied carefully in all of their details, can teach us profound life lessons from which we can derive great benefits. Hence, drosh. Study them, interpret them, but kabel tzchar. You will reap rewards from your study, from the contents. You will learn something about life. So thus, in the spirit of drosh to kabel tzchar, I want to spend a few minutes talking about the lessons we might learn from one of these. That is, of course, the one that's found in our parsha, the laws of Nigei Batim. The first thing that we learn from the parsha of Nigei Batim is one of the most fundamental principles of halacha, that which is known as chazakah, the status quo. Halacha operates under that of something similar to what we would call Newton's first law of motion, the law of inertia. Objects that are in motion tend to stay in motion. Those that are at rest tend to stay at rest unless acted upon by some force. Throughout the corpus of halacha, we operate with the assumption that the physical and metaphysical status of objects does not change until we know it has changed. In cases of doubtful transfer of ownership, the object's ownership is presumed to reside with the last definitely known owner, the marakana. In situations where food was assumed to be permissible for consumption, it retains that status until we know with certainty that something that has happened to render it prohibited. And if we have a person who is tameh and has immersed in a mikvah where there's a safek in the status of the mikvah, that person remains tameh until the kashrus of the mikvah is established. The Gemara in the first parak of Chulin asks the question, Minalan dasnina basa chazaka. How do you know that you follow the status quo chazaka? The answer is that it's derived from the process of declaring a bayis tameh with tzaras. The Torah tells us that the Kohen inspects the nega, walks out of the house and closes it up, and then he declares the house tameh. But how does he know that the nega hasn't changed during the time which elapses between his walking out of the house and declaring the house tameh? Obviously, Chazal says, we assume that once he has observed a nega in the house, it is assumed to be unchanged until we know for a fact that it has changed. Lesson number one. Lesson number two relates to the procedure of emptying the house before the Kohen looks at it and potentially declares it tameh so as to spare the things in the house from tumah. As the house doesn't become tameh and it's the tameh ba'ohel until the Kohen says it's tameh. The Medrash, in explaining the root of Nigei Batim, focuses on the element of emptying the house. V'tzivah ha-kohen ufinu es habayis. The Medrash states, the ayidei maha negayim vayim. Why did negayim come upon a person? Al ayin ra'a, because of stinginess. Amar Rav Yitzhak, v'noach sheba'olam, adam omer l'chaveru hashileni kardumcha. Person says, lend me your axe. V'omer, ain't it? I don't have it. Me ayin ra'a sheishbo. He doesn't lend it because he's stingy. He's not generous. Pamachas omer shlo hashiveni hakvar shlocha. Can I borrow your seat? V'yishlo. V'omer inlin. V'ayin ra. Miyad hanega ba al beisot tchila. The first step in the Goyim is it happens to your house. The way Chazal described the process. Your house, you're banging, and if you haven't learned the lesson and done tshuva, then you're bad. And mahu minayin. Shenemah for us hanega v'inei hanega v'kiros habayis. Umahu hayu osila. What would they do? Mifanin kol mashahe v'beisa. Minayin, how do you know that? Shenemah v'tziva koin v'nuas habayis. Kevan shahe motzi kol mashahe v'beisa. When you know what happens, whenever there's a fire, Rachman al-Litzlan, or there are sirens, you know what all the neighbors do? They come out to watch. So the Kohen is here for this major inspection. Everybody comes out to watch. Kevan shayimotzi kol ma'asheh v'beiso kardumosa v'korosa v'ahiyu omrim re'istem ayin ma'asheh v'yado. Everybody sees that he had an axe, that he had a seed. Ma'asheh haya v'yado lo haya rotze lasha. He didn't want to lend that which he had and could have. Migaramo l'hipanos, what caused him to have to bring everything out to show? Al-shaheh v'ayin hara. When a person is unable to exhibit generosity towards others, unable to share with them with the bounty that God has provided him or her with, it destroys the house. As the end result of an uncured nega is a complete and total destruction of the physical edifice. And in that process, the person's miserliness will be fully exposed for the rest of the world to see. The third message of Negei Batim is based upon a specific detail of a house that is not eligible to be declared tameh, even if it has a nega. The Torah describes the process of the homeowner who sees what he thinks to be a nega on the walls of his house. He approaches the Kohen and says, "Kinega nira li babayis." Chazal comment, "Li v'lo la'ori." He can see it with the naked eye without the aid of any artificial light. The nega that has to be visible. Hence, Chazal conclude that a bayis afel is not metame than the guy. A dark house, one in which there are no windows to peer in or for light to enter, cannot become impure due to a nega. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, for Amar Rabbi Elazar, la'olam heve kval v'kayim. If you want to survive, you want to go undisturbed through life, you should be rather humble. Kavel can even be dark. Kovla in Aramaic. A person who is meek and humble will survive and persist. Rabbi Zeira then explains that this lesson of Rabbi Lazar was taught by a Mishnah. Am Rabbi Zeira afanana mitzina. Bayis afel in posolo halonos liros niga. Shmalina. You don't open windows to create windows in the house so you can look at the nega. Rashi explains that the nega must be visible as it is without having to create these windows. The person who is humble, who does not show off his or her possessions, who keeps them invisible, cannot be afflicted by the scourge of Negevah. It is these latter two interpretations, the cause and prevention of Negevah, that I believe Chazal have taught us in them a profound lesson. What exactly does the term nega mean? In a literal sense, it refers to the affliction of Tzaras. But I think that there's a deeper meaning to nega. The Torah in last week's and this week's parashios assigns the determination of the status of a nega to the Kohanim. The Mishnah Negayim discusses which Negayim, a Kohen, a specific Kohen, can inspect and rule upon. It states, Kohan Negayim Adam Roeh Chutz Mi Negayatzna. Literally, this means that a priest may rule on anybody's tzaras, but not his own. Colloquially, however, we usually read this Mishnah metaphorically to mean that a person can see flaws in anybody except him or herself. Kol ha-negayim adam roeh chutz mi-nigei atzma. By analogy, nigei batim then refer to flaws and faults in a house, and I believe not in the physical house, but rather what it stands for, which is the family. Nigei batim refer to the problems and dysfunctionalities that affect and afflict families and threaten to destroy them. Chazal provide both a diagnosis and of a cause and a cure for these negayim. On the one hand, the obsessive focus on oneself and one's possessions, with its concomitant neglect of one's spouse and children, ultimately destroys a house. The ounce of prevention is a bayis afel, a humble, modest person whose energies are not focused solely on self, and thus is available to meet the needs of the others. And I might add that the person whose contents of their house our unseen is also the person who's not obsessed with accumulating. Because so much of material acquisition and accumulation is only fun if others can see that you have it. Unfortunately, and perhaps not surprisingly, prevention doesn't happen, and negebachim come. But for this, there is one final teaching that we can extract from the parsha of negebachim. When the Torah opens this section, it says, Ki savo al eretz kenan asher ani nosei lachem, v'nosati negatzaras b'veis eretz achuzaschem. Unlike the tzaras, which affects a person's body or clothing, which the Torah describes just as being, vihiyebo, as if to say it's there on its own, here the Torah tells us v'nosati, that God personally is responsible for placing the neg on our houses. The Medrash, presumably troubled by this, comment that this was actually the Sora Tova, it was good news. The Canaanim were afraid of the Jews seizing their treasures, so they hid them in the walls of their houses. God would bring a neg upon the house, forcing its demolition and thereby revealing the hidden treasure. Sometimes, when we hit a bump in the road and run into something that threatens to undermine our home, we are forced to confront the neg that dwells within. And sometimes that opportunity turns out to be real treasure, which allows our houses, or metaphorically, to grow stronger. It's known in the world of medicine, at least so I've heard, that a bone that's been broken and heals and regrows is stronger than the original bone. So sometimes the negebachim offer an opportunity to heal and to build something that's stronger. And hence, even though the parsha of negebachim may never exist in the world, real world, it has much to teach us about how we should lead more complete and fulfilling lives with those closest to us. For good Shabbos.